I completely forgot about this, and I'm just in the middle of my tea.
Anything nice?
A chorizo omelette.
Oh, lovely.
Quirky.
I'll be about 5-10 minutes. That's all right.
No.
You're looking forward to backlash this week, Nick?
No. Oh. No, I think it should be good. I'm not going to start for it because I've got work early next day, but it should be, I think it'll be all right. I'm looking forward to it. I hope Styles wins.
Yeah, I think Styles. I think Ambrose needs to lose it, and then I think he'd be better. He's better chasing than he is a champion, I think. So.
Yeah, I agree with that, yeah.
Right.
He's better when he steals the belt.
Yeah.
Leicester City have won the Premier League.
This is Bianca Westwood.
This is Adam Virgo.
This is John Curtis.
Hi, this is Stan Collymore.
And you are listening to the V2 Football Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the V2 Football Podcast. I'm Chris Lappin, and joining me this week I've got Nick Davey.
Good evening.
And Anthony Kendrick.
Hello.
Shortly we'll be joined by Richard Hero-Hudson. So it's been a bit of a quiet week with the internationals, but a few stories have caught my eye. Today, it's the 128th anniversary of the first Football League matches. Do you want to know the results from their first day?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was Bolton Wanderers 3, Derby County 6. Everton 2, Accrington Stanley 1, Preston North End 5, Burnley 2, Stoke 0, West Bromwich Albion 2, and Wolverhampton Wanderers 1, Aston Villa 1.
I can vaguely remember, I had to do a presentation at school, and I vaguely remember hearing that Derby won their first game 6-3 against Bolton.
Yeah. Yeah. 1888, the first Football League games were played. Right, and
I remember that like it was yesterday.
it's also been reported that Arsenal want Bournemouth manager Eddie Howe to replace Arsene Wenger when his contract runs out in the summer. Can we see this happening?
Well, maybe the Wilshere getting loaned out type thing.
Mm.
It's obviously bound to add a bit of speculation, but I still don't see it personally.
If his name was Eduardo van der Howe.
I think it'd be a very brave move for Arsenal to do it. Personally, I've said it before about it because me and Shane had a bit of a disagreement. I think he's got to do something at a better club than Bournemouth, at a mid-table club, before going to a club like Arsenal. You know, he needs to prove himself at somewhere like a Southampton or an Everton or, you know, a team like that, I think.
Yeah.
I don't think he's good enough to replace Arsene Wenger as the short answer, no. I don't see it. I think it's unlikely to happen, but not impossible.
Barcelona are planning to form a women's team to play in the US Women's Soccer League. The Barcelona president sees women's soccer as a crucial element in raising the interest of the club in the US.
Quite an interesting story. I think, you know, you're getting these franchises coming about. If you look at the owners of Man City, you know, they've got clubs all over the world.
Yeah, they have Melbourne and New York. And
yeah. Maybe it's the start of something similar at Barcelona.
Mm. Okay, and Real Madrid and Atletico Madrid have lost their appeals against FIFA bans on signing players for the next two windows.
I think it's good that, you know, these big clubs are being stood up to by FIFA. I mean, Barcelona got this transfer ban a couple of years ago, but they got away with it in a sense because they managed to get it delayed by a transfer window and they were able to... you know, they signed a lot of players, including Suarez, amongst, I think they signed Rakitic as well, quite a few top players. So I hope that is the case. And, you know, they can't sign anyone in January. I mean, Real Madrid usually, it's quite an interesting one with Real Madrid, especially because they usually bring in, like, you know, the big Galactico signing, and they've not really done that this summer. They brought Morata back from Juve, and he's been, well, the only signing, really, that's of any significance. The Madrid's, you know, Madrid have obviously got a decent side, but their squad is a bit weak. And yeah, they obviously, well, hopefully they can't do what Barcelona do and sign a load of players before the deadline. but we'll see. I guess from Atletico's point of view, it makes it even more critical they keep hold of Griezmann as well, because they obviously can't replace him if they lose him.
We're joined by Richard Hill-Hudson.
Good evening.
You well?
We all good, lads.
Yeah.
Nice. In regards to
Mail, how's that obscure omelet?
It was very nice. I had chorizo for everybody who wants to know what I had for my tea. In regards to Real, it's surprising with that overhanging and they knew the case was coming up that they really didn't do anything this summer. Said for only to sort of bring back Morata and not really go out and get the big name. You know, presumably they must have been in for Pogba more than they let on.
Yeah. Would be like when Barcelona, as soon as it was lifted, they signed about 50 players on the same day, wasn't it?
Well, they did the thing they brought the two players in and they could train with them and then couldn't officially sort of join until the January window. Neither of them were particularly great for the side when they did join. Turan has done nothing for Barca, and was the other one, Vidal? Again, sort of periphery. I think both Barca and Real, they've got a brilliant first team, but I think they are starting to look a bit threadbare.
Players these days are less happy to sit on the bench as they were maybe back in the day. I think, you know, players are, player like, say, Jesse is a great example at Real Madrid who's being on the bench, and he's a good player. He's capable of playing for... I think players would rather play for a decent European side or play in the Premier League than, you know, be involved at, say, a Barcelona or Real Madrid and be on the bench. And I think it's good for football.
Well, that's it. You look at how many of the Barca sort of periphery players that have moved overseas, and how many of the youth team have come and joined the likes of Stoke and Everton and
Stoke got four.
I don't think they're going to boss it as much as they have over the next few years.
Okay, and finally, this Saturday's Manchester Derby is set to be the most expensive match in history, with the predicted starting lineups costing over £670 million in transfer fees.
Itself, then, the La Liga rivalry of Barca and Real, where their match has always been traditionally the most expensive.
Yeah, it smashes the record. It was from November last year, which was £662 million, so it smashes that by £100
million. And you look at the two managers of the Manchester clubs as well.
Yeah.
It's going to be... I just noticed such a crap kick-off time that I think.
It's going to be 0-0. It's too early in the season.
It's because of the rights change, isn't it? Because Sky Sports have now got the Saturday lunchtime kickoffs rather than the Saturday evening kickoffs, which is now
so much better. It was Sunday 4 o'clock.
I'd prefer that. The other problem I've got with it is the fact that you've got Celtic v Rangers on at the same time.
Exactly.
I'd love to watch both games, and the fans are going to have to choose this. It's wrong, it's bad for football.
Well, I'm working 5 till 1, so I'm going to miss half an hour of it, then I need to get straight to the Brighton game, so I'm going to end up missing pretty much all of it.
Well, I'm having a hotel stopover on Manchester on Saturday night, and hotels are well expensive, not happy.
Alright, so we'll do first round of some of the pitch. So all three of you are going to play the first round, and then whoever finishes last is out.
Yippee!
For the second round. So... I want you.
It's like an elimination game.
Yeah, whoever's. You've got five goes each, and whoever's got the least after five.
I'm really nervous.
So am I. I usually lose.
Alright, so I want you to name.
I usually cheat.
I want you to name Premier League players who have a rating of over 85 on FIFA 17.
Oh, how. Who's up first?
Oh, God, we haven't decided. We'll go with.
Hero.
Okay.
Yeah, go first. I know who the top one is.
Yeah.
Well, there's two at the top, I think. De Gea is one.
De Gea is one, yeah.
Can I just clarify something?
Yeah.
Does a player with an 85 rating count?
Yeah, 85 and over, sorry. So there's 20, okay, there's 20 players on the list.
Alright. Me or Nick?
Go Anthony, yeah.
Yeah, you can go.
Alright, well, De Gea's top, joint top with Ibrahimovic.
Yeah. Next.
So this is FIFA 17.
Yeah.
And it's just Premiership players, is it?
Premiership players who have an 85 or over.
Well, he's got to be on there, really, hasn't he? Paul Pogba.
Paul Pogba, yes, he's got 88.
It'd be stupid if the most expensive player in the blooming world is
not even there. He's not one of the highest, though.
No, he's 88. I think it's about.
Well, no one's ever going to be higher than Ronaldo or Messi.
No, I mean, even in the Premier League, De Gea is the top one.
Well, yeah, but that's because De Gea's the best keeper in the world.
I will go with. Aguero!
Aguero? What's up? He is on my list. Yes? 89.
89, I think he is.
Yeah.
I will say Petr Cech.
Yes, he's got 88.
I'm worried that he might have dropped down a bit because he was shit last season. I'll go for Ozil.
Yes, he's got 89.
Was very good last season.
No, he wasn't the one I was thinking of.
Is it my go?
Yeah.
We'll go for the one that you was going for, then Hazard.
Hazard, yeah, 88.
Yeah, that's who I was going to say.
Yeah.
Anthony?
It should be, but is it? I know he's the best defender for a fact. Kompany.
No, he's not on the list. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Yep, sorry.
I was going to say, I don't know if you're right.
You've got 86, yeah, sorry.
risky, I'm going to go for another risky one. Alexis Sanchez?
Yes, 87.
I'll go with De Bruyne.
De Bruyne, yeah, 88.
I'll say Courtois.
Yeah, 89.
Bloody hell, that's high.
Yeah, I think that's it.
There's one more in the top 10. Nick?
It's difficult. There's another one I'm thinking, but he was crap last season as well. would he be on there? But then again, is he really good enough to be an 80? I just don't know. Risky one, very, very risky one.
Mm.
Diego Costa.
Yes, 85.
My favourite non-United player in the Premier League, David Silva.
David Silva, yes, 87.
Oh. Sorry, I didn't think he'd be on there.
Anthony?
I went through the top 20 list with Noah walking down the canal the other day, so if I don't know all these.
Hugo Lloris.
Yes,
that's a good one.
88. Yeah. So you've both got 5. So Nick, to stay in the game.
This is really unfair.
The top 10's gone now. Or everyone's top 10's gone.
I'm swinging with a few choices, right? I can't see it being any more Arsenal players. Willian maybe? I've got a few. Willian, Kante. Sorry,
I just remembered one.
Willian, Kante, Kane, or Pyre.
Come on, Nick.
Yeah, okay. Willian.
Yes, 85. So some death now. So, 5 left.
I'll go for one that Nick just mentioned then. Paye.
Paye, yeah, he's at 86.
That was mine. I'm pretty sure he's an 85 because there's a lot of. Mahrez, I'm pretty sure people aren't happy because his rating isn't high enough.
He's not on my list.
Alright. off then.
Yeah, I think Marcus is below what Rooney is. I think that's what the grief was.
Yeah. Right, so, oh. So Nick to stay in it?
Rooney.
Is that your answer?
No.
So there's four left.
So. Who else do I say? I could say. Harry Kane?
No. Anthony?
Christian Eriksen?
No. Nick? You want to get off by 10, will
Coutinho?
Yes. 85.
Really?
Flip Coutinho, 85. Alright, so Rick and Nick through to the final. You also could have had Santi Cazorla, Seth...
What?
Seth Fabregas, or Koscielny.
Well, that's a joke.
Koscielny is 85.
Rooney, 84.
I only had the top 20 on me, I didn't look below that.
I know Rooney's an 87 in FIFA 16, I don't know what he is now. I know because there's a stat on you which made me not pick Rooney or Kane. There's no English players in the top 50 FIFA rated players.
Hmm.
Yeah, none of them English.
Right, so sticking with that theme, there's with EA releasing the ratings for FIFA 17, there's been a bit of an uproar that Ronaldo is higher than Messi. So, Ronaldo is 94 and Messi is 93. So, based on last season, do you agree with these stats? Or do you think?
Certainly, yeah. Based on last season, I mean, Ronaldo's won player of the year. Messi was nominated in the top three.
Yeah.
And Ronaldo's won the Euros in Portugal. I think if there was ever a year to make Ronaldo a higher rating than Messi, and I think it's the first time in 8 years.
I've got since 13 stats of Messi's got 94, he had 92. And 14, okay. Messi had 94 and he had 92. 15, Messi had 93, he had 92. 16 was 94 and 93. And then this year, the opposite way around. So Ronaldo scored 51 in 48 appearances last season.
It'd be interesting to see with Messi how the issues with the national team affect him, and also sort of the backlash he's sort of starting to get regarding his tax and such.
Yeah.
He's not got that golden boy persona anymore.
No,
he was the shining light, whilst Ronaldo was like the devil.
There's a conspiracy going around Barcelona that he used to be like the poster boy of FIFA, but now I think this season he's gone to Pro Evo. So you think that's like a punishment that made him less than Ronaldo? That's the conspiracy.
Well, Ronaldo was on Pro Evo as well, wasn't he? I don't know if he still is, but I know Ronaldo.
That's a dumb game. Who plays Pro Evo? Whoever does deserves to be shot.
I used to play Pro Evo. I used to, up to about 2008, I played Pro Evo, and then I switched back to FIFA.
Yeah, but that was 8 years ago.
I know. And also, Plus Goals has papered up in the news again. He's claimed there's only three world-class players in the Premier League. Do you want to have a guess who they were? You read the story.
I know them, so I won't say.
Yeah.
I also know them.
It's up to you then, Nick.
Sorry.
Right, so he says, well, I'll do the quotes. He said there needs to be a real step up in quality in England, other than Aguero, De Bruyne, and David Silva. We don't have any best players. All the best players are in other countries.
It's interesting he said that, but then at the same time this week, he's also come out with saying in the Manchester Derby that City aren't a big club. When he ever thinks of big clubs in Manchester, he thinks of United and then the Hacienda, and that's been shut down for 20 years.
My first thought was De Gea, isn't he world class?
Certainly. There's certainly more than three world-class players in the Premier League. There hadn't been for a while, but
He's getting there again.
I do think, though, I think, not David Silva, I think De Bruyne and Aguero get into any side of the world. I'm not sure any other player in the Premier League could. I think De Gea's an arguable one. I'd say Neuer's probably slightly better, but other than that...
I'd probably put Lloris as probably a World Cup keeper as well, and Courtois.
But I'd say none of them are quite as good as Neuer, so I would possibly say you could argue that. I think Aguero is the best out-and-out striker in the world. De Bruyne is the best out-and-out creative midfielder winger.
I'd have Lewandowski over Aguero.
Okay, I could accept that, but I think they're different sort of strikers. I don't know. I'm just trying to justify Scholes' comments as you don't agree with them.
Well, surely the world's most expensive player, Paul Pogba, must be world class.
Was he not referring to players? I thought he was referring to players who are like playing in who've played in England rather than. I thought he was excluding Pogba and Ibrahim. That was my understanding of it. I could be wrong.
I didn't think it came across like that. I think he genuinely just didn't include him. Because I would still have Ibrahim there. I know he's 35 and played in the French league for 3 years, but you immediately see his impact in the Premier League.
Yeah.
So even I'm starting to come round to Ibrahimovic. And if anyone who's listened to us for a while know I'm not a huge fan.
Outside of the two Manchester clubs, it's getting a bit more sparse on the world-class players.
Yeah. If, Hazard got back to his former two seasons ago.
Well, he looks like he has now, so yeah. I would put Hazard in that pot. I'd put Ozil in there.
Yeah.
Sanchez, I think, is on the periphery of it.
Yeah, for me, Sanchez is not quite, for me, on the periphery.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any Liverpool that are world-class. I don't think any...
Coutinho, he gets all the plaudits.
Coutinho is world-class one game in every 10.
Oh, no, I agree with you. I completely agree. He gets. I think he's very overrated. He's capable of those occasional moments of magic, but he's, very overrated for me.
And then you've got ones, again, like Payet, Kante, Mahrez, that are very, very good players, but I think they need to do it for more than one season to...
Yeah. Someone who I think has got potential, who I didn't think did, Raheem Sterling. I think he's had a fantastic start with us.
Yeah, he's been brilliant.
And I think he's got, he obviously can't say he's world class based on his, a few games under Guardiola, but I think he's been brilliant. He's got some serious, he's got that potential and he's exciting like he was,
You'd include Martial and Rashford in the same sentence then if you include Sterling.
Oh yeah, I'm not saying, well, no, but I'm just saying,
I don't know, if you're looking at defenders, maybe Kompany probably, if he wasn't injured all the time, would probably be up there.
Kompany won't fit, he's the best defender in the Premier League, probably one of the best in the world, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, we've got the two most expensive defenders in the world in the Premier League now.
Is it Mangala? No, I'm trying to think. Is it Mangala? No.
No, Louise Stones.
Oh, Louise, I forgot about Louise, yeah. Oh, and he's confirmed that he will be playing him in defence this season as well, so...
He's going to be staying in defence?
Yeah, he confirmed it today. So there's talk that he might be moving into central midfield.
Is he confirmed he's actually going to stay in that position, though? Because he was defender last time and he didn't stay in it.
It was only Rafa who moved him, wasn't it?
No, he just wandered up the pitch.
I did say it on the Transfer Deadline Day show. I do think David Luiz is a very underrated player. I do think he's a good player. He's just... prone to the odd mistake, and he gets picked on a bit. I think he gets a lot of unfair criticism. He makes a few mistakes, but every defender does. I just think his gets highlighted a lot more, and he gets seen as
that's what goalkeepers get judged on, isn't it? It's not the 89 minutes where they're solid. It's the 1 minute where they completely lose their concentration and back up.
Of course, I'm sure if you name any defender in world football, I could make you a 2 minute, YouTube video of mistakes they've made. No matter who it is, I just think he gets a rough ride, and I think he's a lot better than he gets credit for.
It's the complete opposite to a striker. A striker can miss 9 out of 10 shots on goal, and then Toe poke one in the 90th minute and they're a hero.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hit them on the backside and go. shall we move on to round two, or the final? Of some of the
pitch. Bring
it on. Alright, so it's Hero versus...
I will beat your ass to death.
It's not Pro Evo.
Your ass is mine.
Alright, so I'll let Nick go first this time. So, I want you to name the 10 highest paid football managers in the world.
I'll start off with Jose Mourinho.
Yes, he's third. He gets 12.3 million.
Jesus.
I'll go with Guardiola then.
Yes, he gets 15.3 million.
Ancelotti.
Ancelotti's number two. He gets 12.6. Munich.
Conte.
Yes, he's number seven. He gets 6.6 million at Chelsea.
Klopp,
yep, he's number... Oh, sorry, Conte's number seven. Klopp's number six, so he gets 7 million.
You'd have thought Chelsea would pay more than Liverpool for managing.
Yeah, I would have thought that.
I'll go with Enrique.
Enrique, yep, he gets 7.2 at Barcelona.
Zidane.
He's number 10, he gets 4.6 at Real Madrid.
Simeone.
Yes, he gets 5.1 at Atletico.
Christ on a bike. I don't really know who to say now. oh no. I wonder if... Wenger?
Wenger, yeah. Yes, he gets 8.9 at Arsenal. Also, to draw level, I'll have to find a tiebreak.
That's pretty much it for the big clubs, isn't it? Who's left?
Juve was the Juventus was the one I was thinking.
Yeah, I'm thinking either Juve or PSG.
Maybe Pochettino, because Tottenham just given her a brand new contract, haven't they? Maybe they are.
You're meant to be helping.
Daniel Levy won't pay shit. Jew. I'm surprised Wenger's in there. He must be just because he.
Yeah,
he's on
like, for not signing people.
That's why they don't buy anyone, because they don't pay for it. I can't even think what the name of the... I'm going for the PSG manager that was at Sevilla. I can't think of his name.
I know it. He's got slick black hair, hasn't he? Big nose. Pointed nose.
Is that your answer, the PSG manager?
Emery, isn't he? That's his name.
No.
You're not Emery.
Congratulations, Nick. You've won. It was Ronald Koeman. He's on £6 million a year at Everton. So congratulations, Nick. You're this week's on the pitch.
No wonder he did a side move there.
Congratulations, Nick.
Can't hear you, Nick. So.
Yeah, move on. And, it was a good 3 points for us, so we just looked forward to the next quiz and keep going, because, I'd like, for now, not to be called to some of the pitch, but the Nick Davey quiz, please.
Well, that was as stimulating as a Stephen Gerrard talk.
You see the video where he was telling his kid not to go to Leicester because it's crap or something.
Great character.
Right, so, I thought we'd finish with a little bit of an England-ish chat. This came out recently.
Nick's chat went straight into that.
Sorry?
I think Nick's celebration speech could have gone straight into the England chat. It was about as exciting.
And we're not going to discuss the match, which was awful. But it recently came out that the FIFA blocked England's plan to call up Steve Nzonzi. I was thinking more around what do you think of England calling up foreign players based on residency?
Well, it's not the first time we've tried to do it, is it? Like, because there was the talk about Januzaj a few years ago. There was a, I was looking back at Manuel Almunia, who at one point was suggested as the England goalkeeper. I don't know. I think other countries do it. I mean, Diego Costa's quite a good example.
Costa played for Brazil. He's been played twice in friendlies, and now he's.
I think so. I think he played in a couple of friendlies because they weren't official FIFA sanctioned games that he was still allowed to play for Spain. So other countries get away with it, but I think I don't know how well the fans would take to it if we, you know, if someone like Steven Zonzi played for in the England midfield. I don't know if we won, you know, won the, you know, was successful and that player was a big role. I don't know. I mean, Owen Hart.
Nah, he had to be English to me.
I guess someone like Owen Hargreaves, though, he was hated, you know, seen as a bit of a foreigner because he was never played in England or anything.
Wasn't he Canadian with Welsh parents who lived in Germany?
So he wasn't really important. He got a lot. I know he got a lot of stick. I think it was Euro 2004. He had a World Cup 2006. One of the two tournaments.
He was awesome. Yeah, he was
excellent tournament. Everyone loved him and were big fans of him. So I think. I don't know, I think the fans wouldn't like it at first, but then I think if that player then plays well, suddenly it's all good.
At it compared to boxing, and like the greatest heavyweight boxer this country's ever had, like Lennox Lewis.
He's Canadian.
He's Canadian.
So Greg Rosacki, he was Canadian.
No, I don't think anybody cared about him, he didn't win it.
Yeah, but he was.
What about someone a bit more recent? What about someone like Mo Farah? Is that the same example, or?
Yeah.
Well, John Barnes, he was
Jamaican. Yeah, but is that because that kind of comes under the Commonwealth? It's kind of.
Well, you look at like the French national team that won the World Cup.
That was full of Algerians.
Algeria and such, and then the German national side has, you know, for years had a lot of Turkish players in it.
Mm. Yeah, one of the other examples was Prince Boateng. He played for Germany's under-21s and then went on to play for Ghana. And then,
the two brothers play for different national sides, don't they?
There's a lot of Welsh players have had England under-21 caps, and a couple of Scottish players have, a lot of Irish, Republic of Ireland. I don't know if they still do these days, but back in the day, in the 90s, it was like the England B team, wasn't it?
The USA 94 World Cup, do you think the Republic of Ireland fans were up in arms because they got to the World Cup and beat Italy in the first game?
John Aldridge and Andy Townsend.
Yeah. I think we should get out of this snobbery.
Yeah. Right, and they've also England's target of winning the 2022 World Cup in Qatar has been softened by the new FA chairman Greg Clark. He says that the countdown clock at St George's is daft.
I agree with him. It's a silly, arbitrary target. It's very unlikely to happen. I think it's unfair to be placing that kind of level of expectation on managers. It's, you know, it's obviously nice to try and achieve the best, but you know, it's not fair on managers or players to have that kind of level of pressure put on them.
Yeah, that's his argument, isn't it? So he doesn't want to put them on the
side. A manager now who is club level at best, and not particularly a great club.
No.
And we're going to be, you know, until the FA address grassroots football, and the money towards grassroots has reduced again, hasn't it, this year?
Oh, it's ridiculous. I mean, on Sunday we had our first game of the season, and it's just ridiculous. We had a 16-year-old referee, who was actually better than most men, to be fair. Shower's not working. Already a pitch that's already sort of not taken much care of. It's just terrible.
I don't want to be sort of rude against the team that you play with, but your team is sort of players that are never going to make it.
There's a few that might.
You know, I'm talking more about the things that are available for 6-year-olds coming through. That's where money should be invested in the kids of the game.
Well, you could talk about Jamie Vardy, though.
They're few and far between, aren't we, now, to actually putting money into pitches for kids and the coaches for them.
It kind of links back to, Real Madrid and Athletic Madrid transfer bans, because FIFA is being stricter on where teams can take their players from. You know, youth players, it's like 100 miles or something, isn't it? So I guess that's that could help, the fact that, you know, teams are forced to go local rather than, you know, looking for the best foreign under-18 players to bring into their academies.
Well, isn't that FA rather than FIFA-based?
No, it's FIFA rules. That's why Atletico Real Madrid have got their transfer bans, isn't it?
Right. Because we still nab them from overseas all the time.
There's a new ruling on under-18 players that you can't sign under-18s, basically. It's FIFA, it's worldwide, which I think is a big help.
Yeah.
I just want to go back to something you said. Like, you said we picked an average club manager. Who would you have had as England manager instead of Sam Allardyce then?
A foreign bloke.
Yeah.
Gus Hinnick.
I'm just interested.
I want to go Hinnick.
What about Laurent Blanc?
Did all right with France, didn't he?
No, I don't really like him as a manager. It's a hard one to pick now for the England manager because he's such a poison chalice.
Mm. You can even see with Big Sam.
It's not an attractive post to go for anymore. Like, you go back 20 years and any manager worth his salt would want the England manager role. Nowadays, which would you rather have, the England manager role or the Man United or the City or the Chelsea role? There's only one choice to go for, though, and it's not the England one.
Yeah, England manager's job is just crazy these days. I mean, they're not going to win anything for years to come.
Just thinking back, though, when we got Fabio Capello in it, at the time, he was, like, the best manager, or one of the best managers in world football.
Yeah, but he couldn't speak a word of the language.
That happened again now. Did you see, Diego Simeone coming in?
I could see Mourinho coming in and taking it.
I think Mourinho will after United. I reckon he'll come take it.
I think he's because he has been everywhere.
Well, he's adamant that he always says in the papers that he could easily win a World Cup. But
I could see Guardiola taking it on as well, though, as another name.
Did you see Paddy Power's tweet the next day?
Yeah.
It said that Big Sam in the Monday morning was having a massive fry up smothered in gravy.
So the one with Big Sam taking off his mask and it's still being royal under it.
Yeah.
No, the one good thing I think that's come out of the England game was Lallana. I think he's technically our best player.
I thought
Lallana
had a very good game. I agree.
I think he's quality.
Was it Chris Waddle or Glenn Hoddle who was saying we should build our team around him rather than around
Kane?
Look
at the technical like Spain, Portugal, Germany, etc. And the technical players on their team, and then you think that our best technical player is Adam Lallana.
Well, Lallana and Rooney, idiots that come up, like, what the hell was the point of bringing Walcott on?
I'll say, why don't you bring on Mikel
Antonio? Yeah, exactly.
If you're one of the goal, he's... But did you hear Clive Tilsley after 20 seconds was like, so what do you think of the Big Sam era? Like, it's 20 seconds into the game. But
that's just commentating at his best, but we'll give him a chance, but I'll still adamantly stand by what I said when Sam was appointed. I think it'll be the case of we'll probably win all of our qualifying games, maybe draw a few, but we'll piss on the group with qualifying, but then it'll be standard. We'll go to the World Cup, we'll be lucky to get a win, and that'll be that.
And repeat and rinse for the next 5 tournaments.
And then repeat, yeah, he'll probably get the chop, or they might give him for the Euros. We'll do shite in that, he'll get sacked, and then it'll be a new manager in. It'll probably be someone like, there's not
really
many English managers around.
I discussed this on the Academy show, was that he's refused the offer for all the teams to play a similar style, to the senior team. So do you think that sounds like he's only looking short term?
I think Sam Allardyce is pretty adaptable tactically. I think he can change things. He's known for playing this physical style of play. But I mean, if you look at, say, his last season at West Ham, for instance, he played the diamond and he played attractive football because he was told to by the board. And I think as a manager, he is very adaptable, I think.
Well, you can see when he had his last couple of years at Bolton, when he got Dorkeyev and Okocha in. They were solid defensively, and then he went forward.
But he was hated at West Ham. He was hated at Newcastle.
Yeah, I'm not. It's irrelevant whether he's hated or not. I'm just saying, I'm making the point that he can change his tactics and that, and I think that telling all the same, you know, the lower teams to play the same style won't work, is what I'm saying.
I think he only changed style at West Ham because he was under instruction to do so.
So check out our new website, v2football.com, where you can find out our other shows. Do you want to tell us about the 72 show?
Yeah, so I was joined by Cheltenham assistant manager Ross Milton. We reviewed the season so far. We had a debate about the new transfer rules, mainly to do with the emergency loans. We had a chat about Cheltenham so far this season. It was a great show, recommend checking that out.
Yes, and we also have a new Premier League review show. It's Ash and Al's Premier League podcast. It's a unique look at the weekend's action, and they always have a special guest on there too.
It's a great show that I really enjoyed listening to it every week.
I think they had Elvis Presley on last week, so. And Michael Flatley the week before. Right, and then we also have the V2 Academy with me and Peter Prickett. In episode 5, we had Laurie McKinley from Motherwell. And on the next episode, we've got Chelsea Academy skills coach Sol Isenhurst, which released on Monday. So check that out. We want to get nominated for an FBA again. So there'll be a link. There'll be links in the description. So if you want to vote us as best podcast. I don't think she's not hosting this year. They've said... it's a bloke hosting.
Oh, it's not going to be a bloke, is it?
Oh, yeah, I don't care about winning. I just like I thought the I just had a really good night.
Is it actually at Old Trafford? Is it the same place last year?
It's at Old Trafford. Isn't it?
What's weird? You're going to go into the Old Trafford?
Yeah.
Into Man United.
Oh my god.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're putting them in a
room. Dabbing was popular afterwards.
So there's links in the description, so click on them and vote for us as best podcast. So also follow us on Twitter at V2Football and like us on Facebook.
You better.
I want to know what just happened to Chris then.
I saw stretching my baby boy, he's got 40.
Come on. While saying that,
can I pitch our new theme tune to you?
Yeah.
I think it should be starting from the bottom now here. 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 Starting from the bottom here.
Wow.
I'm sure Anthony can cut that into our new
intro for the podcast, man.
Oh yeah, that was quite good actually.
I was really proud of that.
Yeah, but I just think we'd do ourselves a world of good with Drake, and it's like quite true because we did start from the bottom, but now we're here. Started from the bottom, now we're here. Started from the bottom, now we're here.
I think
that could be the closing theme.
Yeah, okay, good shout.
I think we had 30 listens on our first show, didn't we, Hero? It's
about that.
I listened to the first
one.
And then you decided to join us.
Why are you being like this? My favourite episode was the one where it was, and I'm delighted to say we're now joined by Micah Hyde. It's her, Micah, mate.
Paul was a good host.
One of my loads of awkward silences, and you played for Peterborough, didn't you?
Right, so good night.
Oh yeah, sorry, good
night. I take it you're going to be doing a bit of editing at the end of that. last 5-10 minutes maybe, might be worth going.